I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Ev. She has body dysmorphic disorder. Let's talk about it. Know what Sick Boy was?
No.
Fuck this guy. Who's this joker?
He's like my best friend in Toronto.
Oh, I hate him already.
God, sounds like a terrible person.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I hope he doesn't listen now. I feel bad. Ev, what are we here to talk about?
We are here to talk about BDD.
Yeah. So this is our second body dysmorphic disorder.
Right.
Episode.
Right. When was your last one?
Our last one was
about a year ago.
Yeah, it was that long ago.
I remember we had a whole debacle where we recorded a bunch of episodes in my apartment instead of in our studio.
That's right. And that was one of them. Now, your application is, you know, it's funny. I was saying how I was making a joke about like no a non-compete and you can't be on any other podcast for 5 years. Your application, when I read it, I was like, this is some shit that you would hear on like a mind-blowing episode of This American Life or Radiolab or, you know, like some of like the some of the best like hardcore journalistic practice.
Right. They want the most fucked up people.
Yeah, they want the really not the fucked up people, but like they want the fascinating stories.
For sure.
that are too wild to be like to be true.
Yeah, for sure.
And your story honestly is so mind-blowing. My fucking dog's in here right now. Bigby, cut your nails, bro. Here, come lay down. Come on, lay down, buddy.
He's a big boy.
Wanna lay down?
He's carrying about 110 pounds around.
Lay down, bud.
Sit and lay.
Oh, good boy. So if you hear click clacking, that's Bigby's nails on the floor. Your story is it's stranger than fiction.
One of my favorite movies,
yeah,
by the way.
The reason why I'm so excited to talk about this is that I've always found twins to be fascinating. And maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself with the twin thing, but
You're not. We're pretty cool.
Yeah, okay, sweet, perfect.
Tell us about what BDD is, because, again, something that we love to advocate on our show is that no matter how many times we talk about a certain thing, every person's experience is different, and okay, and what you how you deal with it and everything is different. So tell us about BDD.
What is BDD
to
you?
And
yeah,
your experience.
So BDD is body dysmorphic disorder. Sometimes I say it's like an eating disorder, but it's not an eating disorder. So it's a preoccupation with a very minimal or perceived flaw. So someone might have, you know, like their nose isn't perfectly straight and they're preoccupied with that. And they'll obsess about it.
Right.
So a lot of people will think like, oh, okay, well, everybody has BDD then, because like, you know,
everybody has like some sort of physical insecurity, or
right,
like a lot
exactly
of people do.
Right. So like no one is 100% happy with their bodies.
Right.
Like you can see that my nose is crooked and you assume that I'm obsessing over it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Do you have a crooked nose, Ted?
I broke my one. You wouldn't know unless I pronounce it. I got someone punched me in the face a long time ago.
I would say mine's more crooked than yours.
Maybe.
I have a bigger bridge.
Yeah, you do have a bigger bridge.
Anyway. I don't obsess over my nose.
Well, then you don't have BDD.
Oh, great.
I think that they categorize BDD as BDD if you think about it more than a few hours a day. So someone might be upset about some part of their body, but they might think about it, like, you know, like briefly in the mirror in the morning, be like, oh, I wish I had like whatever, thinner thighs or whatever.
Right.
But then BDD is like a complete obsession where it takes over your entire life and
hours of the day.
But what if it's something that is, so here's my question. What if it's something that is real? Right. So
that's the fear.
Right. Okay. So like I had growing up and still like sometimes I go through periods where I have like severe acne.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go into those periods of time, it has a very profound effect on my mental status.
Right.
And I definitely for sure think about it and obsess about it for the majority of the day.
I just want to say your skin looks really good right now.
It's been doing good for the last like year.
It looks really good.
But I've had some like downtime, like some lows.
So does it cut into your social time? Do you think about it when you're supposed to be working? Do you think about killing yourself?
Not so far as killing myself.
Okay.
Not that far ever. But it definitely like cuts into me going, I'm not going to go out.
Really?
You know, I won't go out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing is that it for sure is there. Like I'm not perceiving something that isn't real.
Are you perceiving it as worse than it is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I went on Accutane.
Yeah.
You know, like I was prescribed like a medication to like actually deal with the acne.
Right.
But, and I'm sure there's people that will go, oh, but it's not as bad as you make it. But
yeah, it's
are those people telling me that because they can tell how shook up I am about it, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, it's bad acne, but like, get over it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a good way to kind of bridge the gap into where I'm assuming you're going with that, which is something real versus something
completely perceived,
right,
or a very minimal flaw,
right? And that was the big point that you brought up in the beginning.
Exactly, that's what BDD is. It's something that's barely there. Hardly noticeable to other people.
Exactly.
Right.
But in your mind, you're thinking that everyone notices it, and that people are laughing at you, and that really it's the first thing that people notice about you, when in fact they don't see anything.
So, mm-hmm. So what is this for you? Is there something specific? Is there multiple things? Is it more one thing than it is another?
So for me,
Let me just say, what is it or what was it?
What was it?
Okay.
Oh, okay. So this is past tense. Okay.
But I feel like it's always like an in recovery thing. Right. So it's like I'm always going to have a little bit of it there.
Sure. You're always feeling like you could be susceptible to going
absolutely
back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's why I compare it to an eating disorder, because it's always kind of
in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fucking weird.
Hey, yeah. It must be frustrating as fuck.
So what's your thing?
My thing was my skin. So I guess I'll tell you like how it started. And
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing this volunteer program called Katimovic. Have you heard of it?
Yep.
Yeah. So me and my twin sister, we're identical twins. Actually, I'll show you a picture.
Do you go up? Do you do that up north or?
You can do it anywhere in Canada.
Okay.
So we were placed in different programs, two different provinces across Canada.
It's kind of like a leadership, young leadership group that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like 17 to 21. So we were doing Katimovic at the same time, but we were in two different provinces. And I remember exactly the morning when I woke up and I looked in the mirror and I noticed my skin looked different. It looked wrinkled and scarred and textured. And
the skin on your face.
The skin on my yes, yes.
Right. And the day before you woke up, go to brush your teeth, everything's 100% normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had just started using this like acne cream because I had some acne. So I just started using that. So I kind of thought it was that. So I was like, oh, crap. Like, I shouldn't have done that last night. Shouldn't have put that on my face.
Which acne cream is this? So I know never to use it when my acne does come back.
I honestly don't remember. I was 19, I guess.
Did it say on the bottle, side effects may include body dysmorphic disorder?
It should have. Yeah, so I felt pretty shitty about that. I don't know. It was awful. I was like, crap, wow, this cream really did something that I wasn't expecting.
And did it start small? Like when you looked in the mirror that morning, were you like, oh, there's these little spots?
Yeah, yeah. Little scars. Okay. Little, like, yeah. Yeah, mostly scars, I think. And just like texture. I felt like my skin looked like an orange peel. Like it was just like.
Right. Like leathery.
And
right.
It wasn't as bad as it got. Like it got so much worse. But I remember that day, I called my sister, who was in another province. also doing Katimovic, and I told her, I was like, shit, don't use this cream, like, it's gonna affect your skin. And she's like, yeah, I already did, and it is affecting my skin, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So
how is it affecting her skin?
Same way.
The exact same way.
Yeah. Whoa,
see, that is so fucking trippy. Wild. Now, yeah. Let me ask this question. I know this is a stupid question because we all know the answer, but what was her skin reacting in that way?
No, neither of us.
And neither was yours.
No.
What was the timing similar?
It was like, exactly the same time. It was like around the same week. Like,
what?
Sure. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And so you were, which province were you in?
I was in Nova Scotia, and she was in British Columbia.
So, the opposite ends of the country.
7,000 kilometers away from each other?
You guys haven't even, like, you know, the notion of this hasn't even come up.
No.
And then you call your sister, and you drop this on her, and you go, yo, that, like, Accutane we were using, that cream.
It was just, it wasn't even prescribed.
Not even prescribed, like, yeah, like, sure, like, proactive. Don't put that on your face.
Yeah.
Because it's going to give you scars. And she's like, I already got them, too. God damn it.
Exactly, yeah.
Like,
whoa, that's super trippy.
That is so mind-blowing.
So in those like programs like Katimovic, you're probably sharing accommodations with somebody,
I assume?
You're
sharing accommodations with like six other people.
Yeah, I assume that, like, you're probably with a number of other people. So you...
So it's like several hours later and they're just banging on the bathroom door and they're like, hurry up, Ev. Get out of there. And you're like, oh, fuck.
But so obviously...
But actually, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't you ask them, like, does my skin look fucked up?
Every day. It was awful.
But what do they say?
God, it's so weird because when people tell you that your skin looks fine, you don't believe them, or you think they're telling you that to reassure you, to just like get you to stop talking. But you know that you actually have a very severe problem and that you look like a monster. There's not really like a point in leaving the house because like you're never going to get shit done. You're just going to be thinking about it all the time.
And when you would bring this up to them, was it something that, like, I know that, again, to relate it back to my experience with severe acne, I would never want to actually talk about it.
Right.
So, like, I would only really talk directly about it with, like, the closest people that I was with, like, maybe my wife, maybe my mom or my dad.
Yeah.
So when you were bringing it up to the people that you were living with, like your roommates at Katimovic, were you going into depth, or was it a very like, hey, does my skin look weird? And they're like, no, you look fine. And you're like,
yes.
Okay. And then you walk away and just kind of,
I wouldn't stew. Talk about it being like obsessive. I would just say like, oh, like, I don't know. Like, I feel so like gross today. I feel like I should wear more makeup or something like that. Just like to get their reassurance. But I wouldn't talk about it being like,
I see these wrinkles and these scars and they're forming.
Because it was embarrassing. Bigger. I was like, I'm just being vain. And I didn't know that it was body dysmorphia at the time. Like, I thought that it was...
Of course.
That's the most fascinating thing, because I'm almost... There's aspects of this that almost remind me of, like, Shutter Island. Like, it's all not...
Yeah.
Like, it's... None of this is actually happening, but you're in this reality that you swear is real.
Yeah.
It's his own, like, personal, very personal bubble psychosis.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right? Because I'm assuming... And I actually don't know, because I don't know much about BDD aside from what we talked to Becky about, and now you.
Which was related to hair.
She was seeing hair all over her body, and she's I'm not very hairy, and she's much less hairy than me.
Right, exactly, because it's hardly, it's like nothing.
It's just not there, right. Now, did you, have you in your, ever in your life, ever looked at anybody, but then there's just like, would you know, looked at anybody and been like, wow, they've got these weird wrinkles and scars on their face. Like, do you see things that don't exist on other people's skin?
No. Well, yes, because I experienced it with my sister, right?
So... Yes, and well, that's a whole other fucking crazy story of fuckery that...
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that, let's go into that. Like, so you
cannot gloss over that. Yeah. Like, you saw this... Oh, yeah, we'll get into that later. Like, the most crazy thing about this. So
we should just leave it at that.
Yeah, true.
And we're done.
See you next time. I'm Brian.
So I guess let's come back to when it all started. But fast forward this later in the summer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, when we both got home.
When you get home from Katimovic, you guys meet up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her.
Yeah, it was scary. It was really scary. Because
and
it was
you
exactly
saw it
what
on
was,
her.
Yeah, it was what I was seeing on my own face. And I didn't like what I was seeing, and she didn't like what she was seeing,
and still at the same time, and at this point still no idea about BDD.
no idea. We just thought we were monsters and that we like, what the fuck is wrong with us?
Speaking of monsters, have you ever played the werewolf game?
Which one?
Okay, so this this reminds me so much of the werewolf game, where so the werewolf game is like a murder mystery kind of game, or it's some people call it like wink murder, things
like that. Yeah.
So like so in werewolf specifically, you sit around in a group of friends, and basically there's a narrator. They assign two werewolves, and the werewolves basically pick off people from the group, and you have to debate and guess who the werewolves are.
How do they do it? By winking?
No, so the narrator, I don't want to get into the whole logistics of the game, but
I'm dying to know now, though. You started, okay. So I want to know.
All right, I will continue. So the narrator will basically tell the story, say, it's nighttime in the village, and everybody goes to sleep, so everybody closes their eyes.
Yeah.
And then the werewolves come into town, they open their eyes, they sneakily point at who they're going to kill, and then everybody wakes up and finds out who's dead.
Oh, the narrator's like, you're dead, and you're dead.
So
got
then,
okay.
So then, but then there's this debate round, right? And you're looking at people, and if you're not a werewolf, you're like, I swear to God I'm not a werewolf. I swear to God I'm not a werewolf. And somebody's like, I swear to God I'm not a werewolf. But somebody is. Mm. And everybody's so passionately saying that they're not. So I imagine in your situation, when you're saying to your sister, like, yeah, you do have it. And she's like, yeah, you do have it too. And then other people are like, no, you don't have it. Then you don't know who to believe. You're like, okay, well, I believe what I see, and I know that she's saying it, but why
exactly
won't other people acknowledge that we have this?
Exactly, yeah.
So it would, for you to see on your identical twin sister that she has that as well, must have driven you crazy.
Oh my God, it was so awful. It was so awful. It was an obsession, and the more I hung out with her, and she's my best friend, so we hung out all the time. The more I hung out with her, the more I would feel worse about myself. But I wanted to be around her because we live together.
And would you guys talk about it? Like, coming back to like how I would only talk about my acne to the closest people around me. Did you guys get in depth about it? About what you were? Okay.
So we didn't, at that point, we still didn't know it was BDD.
Yes.
We talked about how ugly we perceived ourselves. And I mean, we were used to looking for reassurance in other people, but in this case, we couldn't find reassurance in ourselves, in each other.
Right.
And
if you can't, and you're probably thinking that if someone's going to tell me the truth,
it's going to be her. Exactly.
What a fucking cycle, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's because you guys are identical. Like, you just saw yourself in her, or like, do you know?
Do I know who I am?
Well, yeah, no. But what I mean is, like, have you? I feel like this is one of those things have you ever had any medical professionals be like, can we do a study on you and your sister?
Well, okay, so it got to be pretty bad. We both had part-time jobs in Toronto that summer. I was working at Booster Juice at the time, and I couldn't look in any reflective surfaces. Like, I couldn't look in the mirror. I couldn't like walk by a storefront window. Like, I would just get like super panicky. Like, I had to wash my hands in the dark, like, couldn't turn on the lights in the bathroom, and she was the same.
Is this all over your skin or just on your face?
Just on my face, and just on her face.
I should say, too, like, your skin to me right now, it looks perfect. Like, you have very good skin, like...
Thanks.
I have perfect skin, too, and I'm jealous.
We've already established that this is a BDD.
Yeah.
I'm just giving some reassurance too. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like she said, it's always there and present. I just want to say your skin looks great.
Thank you.
Well, just to kind of piggyback off that, in talking about this, does it trigger you in any way, or does it sort of like bubble up underneath a little more than usual?
I get a little bit anxious, but it's not like I don't have it anymore. So,
right.
I mean, I don't have it to that near extent anymore. So I can definitely talk about it without getting like, too upset.
So coming back to you and your sister, you guys see this on each other. It got really bad to the point where you can't, like you're walking into rooms with the lights off at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were both going to doctors and dermatologists saying, what can you do? Like, what the fuck can you do? Like, I need something. And like looking into these super expensive treatments, like hundreds of dollars for like face peels or whatever.
And are the dermatologists just like, I guess we can do a face peel?
They would look at me and they'd be like, why? There's nothing wrong with you. And like, you have good skin. Like, what? Like, are you sure? And I would just find another doctor. I'd be like, they're obviously just like,
right. Because you're describing something that is so not what they're perceiving.
Exactly.
So they're just, I mean, because you're saying, what are you saying to them? Oh, my skin looks like what? Or,
I would say, I want to get rid of the scars. I want to get rid of the wrinkles.
Right. And they're just like,
what scars? Like,
dude,
what
are you
wrinkles?
Serious yeah. right now? What are you?
Yeah.
And then you're walking out going, this fucking quack doesn't know shit. Like,
yeah. Actually, I have a few friends in plastic surgery and they talk about how so many of their clients have BDD.
Oh, wow.
But they don't know how to deal with it because people want surgeries, and it's very clear to the plastic surgeons that this person has like whatever perfect skin, like a great body, like whatever. They don't need the plastic surgery, right. But they can't really say no, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess it's not like they're at any point where they could suggest
counseling. Or,
yeah, like yeah. where you're like, well, do you want to go see this?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I feel like there is a place for that. Look, I have a theater degree, but I feel like if I was a plastics or a dermatologist specialist and you walked into my office and you were like, I've got all these fucking scars, all these fucking wrinkles, and my face looks like an orange peel. What can you do? And I was looking at what I'm looking at right now, that I think I would feel liable if I didn't say
you need to get to a doctor.
I'm sorry, but I think there's something going on here mm-hmm. that is mentally just not connecting.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take a moment here out of my busy fucking day, pause all the like thousands of fucking patients that are in my office right now, because you know those dermatologists' offices are like so goddamn hard to get into. God damn it, I know all about it. Yeah. But like, and then just be like, I'm gonna sit down on my goddamn computer right now and look up like some services to like help you out, because like that is it.
Dude, if you can find the doctor that's down for doing that, I'll fucking give you $1 million. Are you kidding me?
They do. No, they exist. Those people, there's good people exist. And I think that,
dude, it's not a good person thing. It's just like a fucking doctor thing. It's no, like, there's no fucking time. Dude,
but
like they literally have like,
yes,
jam.
However,
like,
no. However,
good luck.
Hold on though. But it is a good person thing, because it's like if someone comes in and they're showing signs of a mental disorder, they're showing signs of
well, they might not be though. They might, I'm playing devil's advocate, they might not be. They might just be going, hey, I want to fix, let's say,
but if
nose,
they are,
for example, I want to fix my nose, and they might just say, hey, okay, what do you want it to look like? And then they go through what they look
right,
to look like, and
that's
they never say why.
Totally, but that's a totally different thing. Like I'm saying that in the example of going in and saying, I have these scars on my face, and there are no scars.
Well, there's nothing to fix.
Well, you're being presented with something that is someone is expressing the reality that they have that is clearly not the shared reality.
But I mean, sometimes with BDD, it's a very minimal reality, right?
Right, right.
So like maybe your skin isn't completely perfect.
Sure. Right. But I'm just sitting here looking at your face and I'm like, fuck, there's no, like if you came in and said anything like that, I'd go, are you?
I would like
what?
To think.
No, there's no way.
I would like to think that's. There would be some level of teaching in that profession leading up to them practicing that would say, hey, if somebody comes in, like, hey, you're definitely going to experience,
you're going to run into this
these
in
situations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
If this happens, here's who you should refer them to. I don't think it would take them that long to like, I don't think they would have to go and like, do a bunch of research and like go and take a night class to like figure out that they should just refer them to a
but to have the resources to refer to someone.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, like considering the fact that there's multiple people that would come in expressing BDD, clear signs of BDD,
mm-hmm.
and not having to a place to refer them. Like to me, that's just like, oh Jesus, that's
so. Then what happened to you? Let's find out. Let's find out what happened in your situation.
So yeah, I was having this awful summer. It was obsessive. Couldn't focus on anything. Avoided like mirrors at all costs. Started avoiding my sister.
Wow.
Yeah. So then one night I found myself on a suicide hotline, just like hanging out in bed being like, shit, like I'm calling a suicide hotline. This is fucked up.
I feel like, can we maybe try to fill in, like, how do you get from walking by a window and not really wanting to look at it to like suicide hotline.
Because like, it's literally all you think about. Like you can't think about anything else. Like you're working, you're thinking about your skin. You're thinking about like that you're never going to, like it's never going to be better. Like it's always going to be worse.
And on top of that, you're probably depressed,
like,
right?
Absolutely. Like, you're depressed and someone else is confirming that it's there. So it's not in your head. It's like, okay, well she really hates the way I look. Like, so obviously it's true, you know, and I see it in her. So We're just fucked up, and we have the same genes, so we both look like that.
Is it just like a is this gonna go down as a twin mystery that we'll never really know, like why you see it only in her? I mean, like it makes sense that you see it
that
only
we're
in
identical
her,
twins, yeah.
But in the same way, it's like, you know, Brian and Dennis look.
I have a twin brother.
He's a twin. Brian is a twin brother, and if a stranger walked in and they were sitting side by side and they had like a relatively similar haircut, they'd be pretty hard pressed.
Yeah.
To like shake their hand, meet them, leave, come back in and say who's who.
For sure. Yeah.
But whereas I look at Brian and Dennis and I don't even see them as looking the same because you know them so well.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's probably the most fascinating thing is, I mean,
you are one of those people, so you definitely know that the other person is different than you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I can obviously tell that we're very, very different.
You can tell each other apart.
She walks in the room. She walks in the room, and you're like, "Jesus Christ, who are you? You're me. I'm the fuck."
We dressed as each other. We dressed as each other for Halloween 1 year. It was so great. We confused so many people. And we've like been on dates for each other and like shared IDs, and so it's like,
are you sure you're not an Olsen twin? Have you done movies? I think I saw that somewhere before.
But my question is like, obviously you go into the dermatologist and they're saying, I guess this is just the same question being asked 100 times, and I guess you did already answer the dermatologist one, but what about your parents? Like, aren't you talking to them about it?
So it took a while for me to talk to my parents about it. It was before I knew it was BDG, I expressed like something was wrong and like that I'm not okay. Like I'm super anxious and depressed and like it's because of my skin. And I remember them both trying to be very supportive, but they had no idea like what was wrong with me. They were like, you know, everyone goes through this. Like you're 20 or 19, whatever, like everyone goes through this.
Scars and the wrinkles.
It's well, they like, just think
it's you're... it's your natural young 20s scars.
We've all been there.
But yeah, I feel, and it's so hard because I'm obviously not you and haven't been through the same experience, but I feel like if I was looking at my twin brother and I'm like, dude, your face is fucked. And he's like, dude, your face is fucked. I'm like, let's go ask our parents if our faces are fucked. And we go and we ask them and they say, no, both of you are being irrational right now. It's you both look fine. Like, I feel like having that community get together and like weigh in on it would just be enough to make me go, okay, I'm being
which
irrational
sets
about this.
What you're thinking about apart from
BDD.
A mental disorder, which is that's the
irrational.
Illness.
Exactly.
The illness is it's the same as someone who Brian. I know you don't mean it like this. I know you don't mean it like this, but that's essentially the same thing as saying, look, I know you're depressed, but like, have you not watched like Larry the Cable Guy? It's fucking hilarious. It'll cheer you up. Just watch it.
I feel so bad now. I feel so bad because you are right.
That is exactly it. But it's because it's so, this thing, body dysmorphic disorder, and especially when it comes to something that's so visual, and like even with Becky with the hair thing, it's so not the reality that for us who, what we see as like our reality, we're like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to us because we don't see it.
For sure.
Yet you see it. So like you're literally hallucinating. It is basically hallucination.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And it's still like, I don't have it anymore, but sometimes it still comes up. It's like, I'll be thinking something and I'll be so sure about it. And then I'll think to myself, I had BDD for so long. And it was like, I had a different reality than everybody else. So how do I know that this reality right now is the real, is what's actual? Like,
so it has kind of fucked with your,
100%.
Sort of like daily sort of like outlook on
oh my God,
the worldview.
It's awful because it's like, I'll be doing school and I'll think I'm doing a shitty job. And then I'll find like, I know in my heart that I'm doing a horrible job, like that I'm failing. And then I'll find out that I passed with like a 70.
Right.
So it's like, is that just a coincidence, or is that like because my perception of reality is seriously fucked?
So right. How did you so you ended up on a on a suicide hotline? Mm-hmm. Is this kind of like the beginning of the
finding out
what happened or what you're actually dealing with?
Yes. So, I went to a counselor at CAMH, and she sat me down with like three other people, and they all just like sat around with notebooks, being like, "How real is this to you?" And I was like, I was crying, and I was like, yeah, it's real. It's, I mean, yeah, like, of course it's real. I need help. Like, I need physical help, not psychological right. help.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And then they put me on SSRIs and recommended therapy.
What are SSRIs again?
Well, either antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication.
Right, okay.
So I guess it was like a mix of the two for me.
Okay.
And you're like, wow, what is this miracle skin drug that you're giving me? It's making my skin better.
Was that what it was like?
Actually, like within a few weeks, I could tell a difference.
Wow.
Yeah, within a few weeks, I was like, I could think about other things.
At what point in that transition did you, I'm assuming that day they were like, listen, Ev, you have what's called BDD.
Body dysmorphia. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When they said that, you know, so you've been spending all this time hearing your loved ones and your friends and, you know, people in your life going, no, your skin's fine. No, your skin's fine. No, your skin's fine. Mm-hmm. And then you see these medical professionals and they go, ah, you have body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Was that like an answer that you went, oh, I can kind of wrap my head around this, but I still see it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So it was a little bit, it was tricky. I bet. Like I wanted to believe them, but I didn't believe them.
Because you can see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because so it's like there. How many times has anyone been like, seeing is believing? You know, it's like, yeah. and fuck, you can see it, and now someone's giving you basically the answer to your despair.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's probably so hard to accept because you can fucking see it with your eyes.
Exactly.
Which is such a fucking crazy, like, oh, philosophical thing to sit and think about. Seeing is not believing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, like, I remember talking to my dad about it, and he was like, okay, so you went to the counselor, and they told you that it's all in your head. So you're good. So you don't have it. So you're good. So you know, like, you know you don't have it. Sweet, you're cured.
Like, but dad, I still see it, though. Yeah, I still see it.
Yeah.
So the SSRIs kick in, mm-hmm. and you start to see this, like, change in your skin.
Totally, and in my sister's as well.
So, but did so your wild. Sister at I the know. Same time, like, when you called the suicide hotline, and you go in to get help, are you like, hey,
she was like, what are you doing? No, she was not on board yet.
Oh, wow.
So she didn't start, like, she didn't see a counselor. She was like, okay, you go, you can go, whatever, like, see if it helps you. She didn't start medication until like a few months later when she saw that it was working.
Yeah, so it took you to convince her?
Yeah, I was the guinea pig for sure.
So are you just like, well, I've been taking these meds and you're looking pretty damn good. So you should definitely do it too.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, now I'm like so pro medication.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I got the time where you just in general anti-medication.
I just didn't know about it. Like I didn't really know. I thought I was going to become addicted to it. Not addicted, but like dependent.
Right.
And like I would 100% rather live a life with antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication then
live that
feel
life.
Like yeah exactly yeah. Have BDD and depression and anxiety.
What was that transition like in going from having these severe scars, starting the SSRIs and gradually getting better and better? What was going through your head in that process? Was it kind of like a because how long was this that before you got the help once it started?
Probably like 6 months.
So were you just thinking like the last 6 months,
what the fuck
were a total fucking like hallucination.
Yes and no. More so, it was just I wasn't thinking about my skin anymore. So it was like it was not thinking that I had like good skin. It was just, you know, being able to live a life that wasn't obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really thinking about like, okay, the last 6 months. I was just like, oh my god, like I can have a life. I can do something without obsessing.
Yeah, the blinds were pulled away from like you were able to see.
Yeah.
Like just see the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again.
Yeah. I remember going to the library and getting this book on body dysmorphia and like, cause I didn't know how to explain it to my parents. So I just like put the book on the table and like left. I was like,
read it.
Educate yourselves.
And how were they with that?
I don't think they knew, like they didn't know what it was either. But they read the book, which was so lovely, like so supportive. And afterwards they tried to be as supportive as possible. And they still do, which is nice.
I can very much see how that would be very challenging to wrap your head around how someone sees something that isn't there.
And especially if it's like a teenager, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which is why I totally get when you said that they were like, "Oh, well, you're 19. It's kind of like, you know, you're just self-conscious right now and it'll pass and don't worry about it."
For sure.
Man, my mind is still blown about that analogy, Jer, that you made about
the wolf game. It was pretty good. Yeah, right?
Where everybody puts their head down and then they point.
Tell us more about how the game
is played.
Do you guys
want to play it right now? Let's play around. No, but that analogy about telling someone with depression to cheer up, because that is, like, of course I can't understand it because I haven't experienced it.
And that's something that we've talked about at length of, you know, not even here on the podcast, but like just in out together, like over beers, of how, although we don't know what it's like to have, you know, depression, like severe depression, we definitely understand and we can wrap our head around the fact that it's not something that you can just get over.
Right.
Like it's that you can't just say, cheer up, buttercup. And that person goes, oh yeah, you're right. I was being silly. Yet when we sit down and talk to someone about something that we don't know a lot about and we have such a hard time wrapping our head around, it's so easy for us to slip into that. Right. But like, it's not there. So don't you know,
and the counselor was always telling me not to seek reassurance in people. So they would be saying, you know, like, I know it feels good to get someone tell you your skin looks fine, but you shouldn't be looking for that in other people. And that's what I would do all the time. Like, I would just get people to tell me I looked okay. Like probably on a daily basis.
Were they telling you like, just don't even talk about it?
Yeah, they were
keep
like
it hidden. They were, and this thing is just going to go away.
The counselor, we did some exposure therapy, which was freaking scary.
Yeah, what'd that look like?
So she had a mirror and I had to look in the mirror and talk about what I saw. And I had like a little schedule and I had to like look in the mirror like once a week or.
And she'd like glue different pictures of people on the mirror. So like you pull it up and it's like, you know, it's like a Muppet and you're like, the alpha.
Oh my God. I would love that.
But what's fascinating, like, I know you're joking, but like if it wasn't a mirror and it was just a picture of you, would you see it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Right. Though. I guess, did you, like, is that something that, do you recall ever looking at pictures of you in older days and being like, oh, I remember when my skin wasn't so shitty one day, look at me there.
I think so, yeah. I couldn't look at my passport for a while. I was like, yeah, that was taken before my skin got.
Got fucked.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So I was like, I couldn't look at my passport. And I remember my sister telling me the same thing about her passport.
Isn't that so fucked? And yet your sister is there and she has basically the same face and she's there in the present and you see it on her.
Yeah.
You don't see it in the picture. Like, that's the thing that I kind of asked that question, but, and we didn't really, I know that I got to get some fucking WD-40 for this thing.
Yeah, dude.
Like, just...
Yeah. It sounded like
share that with our listeners.
Like a spaceship going onto a launch pad.
Did you ever do studies with your sister? Like, I feel like it's something that doctors just must be like, holy fuck.
They were.
We've never seen this. This is like unprecedented.
They
for
were
twins to
for sure at CAMH. They wanted to talk to us together, but that never happened.
Oh,
why not?
I think it was just because it was so new to us. So it's like, it was literally the first time I was talking to a counselor. And she was like, you and your sister both see this in each other. Like, you both need counseling right here, right now, at the same time.
It's fascinating.
At the same time, and we're calling in all of the counselors across Canada on the board to be here and sit with it. And we're going to film it. And like, because it does seem like something. That's when, at the very beginning of this episode, when I was like, it's stranger than fiction. That's the part. Like, that's the part to me that is just so...
Yeah.
So fascinating.
I think to me it's just so, like, I'm so used to it. It doesn't really blow my mind at all.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. It's like if I met someone today and they were like, you have cystic fibrosis?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. Like, I'd be like, well, yeah, fuck, dude. Like, relax. I had it my whole life. Yeah.
The thing that I find the most fascinating about this is like, this whole topic in general is that, that when it comes to mental health, things like depression and anxiety are things that we're becoming societally more aware about.
Mm-hmm.
But body dysmorphia, even though Taylor and Jeremy and I have had the luxury to talk to a couple people now, most people still haven't. It's not something that's as popular. And Baby just had a nice little snore.
Yeah, a nice little snore there.
It's not something that's as popular. So I think my ignorance. A few minutes ago when I was saying like, but I can't understand why you can't just like, you know, I think that obviously just comes from the lack of understanding. And it makes me now think of like how many other mental illnesses, it makes me think about all the other mental illnesses that aren't as popular in quotations.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 1 in 50 people. Have BDD.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
1 in 50.
Holy shit, dude.
That's actually a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, I was looking at stats earlier today, so I was like, I should probably find out what I had.
What else? What else did you come across anything else that was kind
of
interesting?
I think it was most of the time it hits people younger than when it hit me, so like around 13, and I was 19. Mm. That it's about the same for women and men.
Is there similarities? Is it always something different, or is there any threads, like through lines, where it's like multiple people report this thing?
Yeah. So skin, nose, hair, and then for men, it's usually muscles, like
penis
muscle
size,
mass.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything.
It could
really
be, yeah.
Muscle mass, like in the way that like a guy would like work out excessively.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that is interesting. Is there anything to be said about, what's the word I'm looking for? Relapse?
For sure, yes, 100%. I've never had it as bad, but I've definitely had it come up again. And it's taken different forms. So I've had BDD in relation to my eyes or... like my jaw or
what way,
like
what like do you mean tiny, about your eyes,
like I'll find like the most like minute different, is that a word?
yeah
totally small.
So like one eye will be smaller.
I think it's pronounced
other.
Minute.
Oh,
yeah,
minute difference.
Yeah, sorry.
I actually went to spell my minute the other day and I was like, this looks a lot like minute. Well, I better look this up.
Thanks for sharing that, Jay.
So one eye looks smaller than the other.
Yeah, and then I'll just obsess about it. I find, or like my jaw, like I'll be like, oh shit, like it's not symmetrical. And then I'll obsess about it and obsess about it and obsess about it. And it's just, it comes up when I'm feeling really depressed or really anxious.
How do you deal with it? Do you have ways that you deal with it yourself, or do you rely on excess or outside help?
Well, now that I know it's BDD, it's so much easier.
Right.
It's so much easier to be like, hey, like this isn't as bad as I think it is.
So is it a byproduct of depression and anxiety? Does one come before the other, or?
No, I don't think so.
It's called a comorbidity.
Oh, so, yes, right.
Yeah,
right,
so
right.
It's like depression and anxiety are comorbid with BDD because of the nature of the disorder.
Right. Mm. So would that be that, I know that we've talked about comorbidity before, but would that be like, would that be that the, that because of BDD, those things just go together. So you have BDD and then that comes afterwards and they just kind of go They tend to go hand in hand.
They tend to go hand in hand. Right, like, okay. I didn't have depression or anxiety the first time. Like, right. I just woke up in the morning and saw it.
Right. And then so it kind of seemed like the depression and the anxiety was a result of
exactly
that at first, and then there. But then you kind of find out that it's just like, well, if you have BDD, you're at a high likelihood to have depression and anxiety as well.
For sure. Yeah. And now if I'm feeling depressed, then I know BDD is more likely to come on.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Do you chronically take antidepressants or any anxiety?
Anti-anxiety, yeah.
And have you? How long did you do counseling, and do you continue to?
I don't continue to.
Okay.
I should continue to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's something that
I feel like everyone should continue.
I see it. My wife and I see a therapist, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's like just, I mean, or like this too. Like, to me, this is a form of therapy for myself. Like,
not listening to this podcast. That's not a, well. I think it could help.
Could be too. I think
but,
it could be.
But well, I like just to pretend not a substitute. Not a substitute.
To some extent, but to sit down and hash things out. In any way, I think is super helpful and super healthy.
I'm trying to make 2017 the year of vulnerability. So, like, all right, yeah, I'll talk about BDD on a
good. Well, that's a good step. Yeah. How long were you seeing a therapist or counseling?
Like probably a year or so. Yeah, but I found the medication helped more than the counseling.
Right.
Yeah. Exposure therapy was fucking hard.
Yeah. Why was that hard?
Because it was confronting your fear, right?
It's just putting it right in front of your face.
Because you were saying that you wanted to avoid looking at yourself.
Right. Like I wouldn't turn on the light in the bathroom, right? Like,
what would that look like? Like, you would sit, it's look at the dark mirror, and yeah. Well, nothing. I couldn't see anything. When your therapist was giving you the exposure therapy, like, what kinds of what would they ask you when you're sitting there looking at yourself?
They would say, what do you see? And it was so hard to describe what I saw. Mm. Like, how do you describe your, like, I don't know, how do you describe skin?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's peach. Mine's peach. not all for everybody. Skin is peach, but mine is, yeah. Did they, fuck. Was that, like, emotionally tough?
Yeah. Oh, I was for sure crying every time.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
How did this affect, like, the rest of your life? Like, if you're just thinking about this and sitting inside for most of the day.
It was horrible.
Feeling shitty.
It was horrible. Like, I remember my sister Rhea, her and I would talk about, like, best bathrooms to use because the lighting was, like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, I remember visiting her at work and, like, coming out of the bathroom being like, hey, that's a good bathroom. She's like, yeah, I know. And, like, we would just commiserate constantly.
So crazy that, like, that's so like it, what a something that you would assume is amazing to have in someone, like, okay, we can, like, share this in common.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is so toxic.
So toxic.
Because you guys are just pulling each other deeper down into this hole.
Yeah. 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 It was horrible.
How horrible. How's your sister doing?
She's doing good. She's doing great. She's she's a recovering funeral director.
Whoa, no way.
Yeah, she just quit her job, like, last week.
Whoa, I'm writing a script about a girl who's a funeral director.
Oh, cool.
I should talk to your sister.
You should.
Yeah. My question that I forgot about, but I brought it back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the therapy that you did, did you ever dive into the origin of where this stemmed from?
I mean, they tried to.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, were you bullied? Like, I don't know, how was your family life? Blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I don't think it's because of a certain thing that happened.
Mm.
Past life regressions.
Yeah, right.
It could be.
Yeah.
Mercury in retrograde.
Like, perhaps that, too. So there is no answer, I guess. And no. And is there a common answer to that question for a lot of people? Or is it one of those, like, great mysteries of mental illness that we're still, you know, rooting out?
I mean, when I was doing my, like, research before this, it said it had to do with, like, being, like, picked on or, like, and I was as a kid, but, like, I don't think it connects to this or, right, like, having, like, abusive parents. And I certainly didn't have abusive parents. So, like, I don't know. I don't.
Hmm.
I have no idea.
Interesting, man.
The twin, like, that I just can't get over. Like, I'm floored by that you see it on each other.
Me too. I mean, like, because I feel like twins have to have this. And Bri, maybe you can speak to this in your experience in being a twin, but twins are really fascinating. And the fact that, like, we were kind of talking to it, I don't know if we were recording or not when we did, but talking about that astronaut and he has a twin, and yeah, they were studying, you know, an astronaut in space versus his twin on Earth, and how the differences between the two of them in terms of, like, space time and all that kind of stuff. Like, there are twins are this sort of mystery. Like, there's these connections that I think twins have that we really don't know that much about, and there's a lot to be, like, discovered there, which is why I was so fascinated to know if you and your twin had been, like, sort of poached for research. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would ever do in the future? Or, like, say this episode comes out and there's some researcher at CAMH who's listening, mm-hmm. and they go, oh my God, I have to get a hold of her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah. So it's something that you would kind of want to,
for sure,
contribute to.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just collect our finder's fee. You can just mail it directly to the Sick Boy podcast office right now. And, yeah, that'd be great.
Do you have any weird, crazy, like, experiences with Dennis?
I don't, but I kind of feel the reason why I pause there is because I know Dennis is listening to this, so I'm like, fuck, is there anything that that I do have that's similar to that? But I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Though the thing that I find fascinating about twins is the fact that, like, we are genetically the same person. Like, our DNA is the same. We came from the same two cells, the same sperm, the same egg.
Yeah.
So we are the same person that is just split into two people. And although all of the experiences that we've had in our lives have made us different human beings, we are still down to, like, the molecular level the same person.
Yeah, you're atomically the same.
Yeah, so
that's so wild.
The crazy thing is that there probably is some really weird and fascinating things that happen
that we just don't even know about.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
We're mirror image twins, so I'm left-handed and she's right-handed.
Yeah, same with Dennis and I.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Is that a rare...
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm left-handed.
Okay. My brother's left-handed. Oh, yeah.
Bummer.
Is that a rarity in the twin world?
I think so.
Are you older or younger?
I'm younger.
Okay, I'm younger.
Have you guys ever gone to twin conventions?
We have not. Have you?
Have you ever seen that video of the Australian twins who speak at the exact same time?
That is so fucking funny, dude.
No way, really? Yeah.
You've seen this.
I haven't.
Dude, it's ridiculous. A farce.
So basically, these two twins, they're on a show about twins.
And I bet
and they're
you
all
that...
with these pairs on this, like, show in Australia or New Zealand or something. And then they've showcased all these twins, and then they talk to them and show what their life is like, and they've grown up together, and they do everything together. They dress the same. They live together.
They date
the same person. Like, right. It's all this really...
That's weird.
Let's try
everybody,
to do it,
Everybody in the show is looking at them and going, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
And that's how they talk.
Fascinating.
So they like...
On purpose? Or like?
Well, and here's the thing.
You can't tell.
Well, it's one of two things. It's either... they're fucking with everyone. They're just trolling the world.
Of course, they're fucking with everyone.
Or
all the other twins are literally like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah,
or there's some sort of, like, weird social mental disorder going on that they think that this is, like, a legit thing that's happening to them.
They're fucking
when clearly it, I fucking hope they are, because it's hilarious. I mean, I hope it is, because when I watch it, I can't help but laugh my ass off. But it would kind of break my heart if I did find out that they
should be on Sick Boy.
Oh my God, I would love to have them on the show.
But the funny thing though is I would love to have them on the show. Okay, so the crazy thing about this is that if it is actually a disorder, we're sitting here going, oh my god, it can't possibly be, because it's so hard for us to understand.
Exactly.
It's the same thing as us trying to wrap our heads around BDD.
It's like, of course we can't understand it, because we've never experienced that before, and it's a thing.
This is straight up some like bro science, because we have nothing to back this on,
as always.
But maybe that's like, maybe they are suffering from a twin disorder.
Absolutely. Maybe they're really upset about it.
And only twins have it. Like there's no one else that would get this except them, because they are twins.
Yeah.
And maybe there's twin onset BDD or whatever, you know, like you and your sister experience this type of BDD that is so fucking rare. You know, like, maybe, who knows? Maybe someone will listen to this and be like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my twin brother had that.
Well, if it's, but I guess if you think about it, at like, we, I talk about twins, and like, they're come from the same egg, obviously. And I guess if you're programmed to have that genetically, and it started in you guys at the same time, then I guess it would make sense.
Is it though? Is BDD genetic?
Well, I'm not saying that it is genetic. I'm just saying that if there was something in your genes that programmed you to react to whatever, you know, like,
Brian, if you were my twin, would you have CF?
The identical
twins,
probably.
If you came from the same egg,
Oh, wow. Yeah. Whoa.
Fraternal.
Yeah, same. Holy same, shit. Same DNA.
Yeah, so
fraternal,
same, yeah, same, wouldn't same genetic
necessarily,
makeup.
But they might, because obviously it would be the same as like you and your sister, right?
Right. Wow. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What a fascinating little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you were hoping we were going to dive into?
No, I don't think so. I think that was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the whole BDD adventure.
The whole shebang. well, thank you, Ev.
I really wanted you to ask the usual questions.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And not so much. I am curious as to what this has taken away from you. So we'll ask that first. What has this taken something away from you?
No, I think it's added for sure.
And this is kind of what I was really curious about. What has this, your experience living with BDD given you?
It's opened my mind, and I don't think I would have been such an activist, in terms of advocating for mental illness awareness. Like, I wouldn't have gone to counseling. I wouldn't have tried antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. Now I'm like super pro medication. I think it's totally added to my life. Like, it's opened my mind.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's your tattoo?
It's nothing.
Yeah. Okay. It has nothing to do with.
There's no meaning.
Okay. Sweet. Perfect.
It's just pain.
So mine too. There's no meaning. It's just art.
Yeah.
Cool. I was like, maybe you're like, well, this is my sister, and this was me, and these were our wrinkles. And,
oh my god.
And this is where it transitioned.
That sounds like torture.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
You're living Memento. Just like, do you see Memento?
You're just like, no, I haven't seen
Memento. Oh my god.
I know. It's one of those movies that I know I have to watch, but every time I go to watch it, I go, am I in that mood right now?
Oh, it's amazing.
I don't know.
It's amazing. Well, thank you, Ev.
Yeah.
Thanks for,
no problem.
Thank you for choosing the New Year's resolution of 2017 being the year of vulnerability, because I'm a fucking amen to that. I think that's awesome. Thank you for coming in here and sharing your experience. Thank you for putting up with the like silly questions and like the over
curious
the top
minds.
Mind boggled minds that we have over this.
Thanks for inviting me. Last minute, like.
Yeah, very very last fucking minute. Last minute. Literally less than 24 hours ago, gave you a call.
Yeah.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another fascinating episode, as always.
But it'll be hard to compete with this story, just saying.
That is right. but we, in the meantime, head on over to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're there. We got a live show coming up probably really soon. I'm guessing this episode drops around that time, so we might have already announced it. Go check it out. And we're also on Patreon. It's one of our platforms for keeping this podcast sustainable financially. So if you like what we're up to and you want to help us spread this community,
even further, head on over to www.patreon.com/sickboy.
Hey, and you know what? You know what? Did everybody who's listening know that that every time...
That's just Big Beat. That's Big Beat.
What? That every time we put out an episode, that we have a blog that goes into the topic as well on our website?
We do, yeah.
Because I don't know if we've ever actually said that.
Sometimes we do.
Yeah. Every single episode we have has a corresponding blog post that goes up on our website. And you know what? You should go and you should look at it. Yeah. And then you should share it.
Cool, okay? Photos.
Go and do that.
Sometimes videos. It's pretty cool.
Welcome to the Information About Sick Boy podcast, where we just talk about all the things pertinent to the Sick Boy podcast.
This is
going to
be an editing nightmare. okay, that's it for today. Thank you all so much.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I am Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.